We've been talking for the last several weeks, or at least out of the weeks that we've been having the Shia besides Pesach and Purim, but for the last several weeks that we've been learning the Sigis and Kedushin, so there's been a significant focus on just how important the mitzvah of Kibbutz Avayim is. We spoke a lot about what the nature of Kibbutz Avayim is and what some of the limitations of Kibbutz Avayim is. But now we enter into a realm of Kibbutz Avayim where, as important as Kibbutz Avayim is, it does not take precedence over other mitzvahs of Torah. And sometimes you can have a direct clash between the two. It's the worst case scenario is when a parent actually asks you, instructs you to do an Aveira. So what is the halacha under those circumstances? So the sugi begins on the first of the Mamakamos, Masechas Yevamos and Afhema Beis. The Sanya, Yochu Yehi Kibra Ve'em Deche Shabbos. I would think that if there's a clash between the two, Kibra Ve'em versus Shabbos, maybe Kibra Ve'em should win. The reason what this is doing in the beginning of Masechas Yevamos is that the Gemara there is talking about the principles of Asei Dochalos Asei. When a positive mitzvah overrides a negative prohibition, and the reason why it entered into Yevamos, why the primary sugi in Shas is yes, is that's exactly what's happening in Yibum, that there's the mitzvah zaseh of Yibum coming into conflict with a certain degree of arayos, and the whole play out of the first 7-8 blot of the second Yevamos, how do you navigate that? So in the middle of that discussion, the Gemara quotes the possibility, what would it then be if a parent tells you to be Michal Shabbos? So I might think you're supposed to listen to your parents. So even before we get to understand why you're not allowed to listen to your parent, what was the Havamim? Why in the wildest dreams would I have thought that I'm listening to my parent? What exactly is my parent telling me to do? So if the parent is just simply telling me, I insist that you be Michal Shabbos, and the parent has nothing to gain from that, so we spoke about this in the past, who says that's even Kibbutz Avayim in the first place? Kibbutz Avayim, according to many opinions, is parent-oriented. And therefore, if you're asked to do something that doesn't really cause a physical benefit or some degree of a hanah to the parent, that's not Kibbutz Avayim altogether. So according to those we showed him, the Gemara asks, I might think Kibbutz Avayim overrides Shabbos. That means the parent has something to gain. The parent's hungry and there's no food that's cooked. So the parent asks the child, go cook me a piece of chicken on Shabbos, which on a Tuesday would be a formal mitzvah deraisa Kibbutz Avayim. So I would think it's the Shabbos, Tamar Lomar, Ish'imov Aviv Tiro, Yeshab Sosai Tishmoru, Kuchem Chayav Michvodi. When I prepared the Shia, I didn't realize that that's to be a Chumash Yerosso. This is Pasha. Ishimah v'yav t'irol b'yinim fashis kedoshim. That the Torah says you have to be an awe and mower of one's parents. But v'yashem tzal say tishboru. And the Pasuk concludes, Ani Hashem, which teaches us, kulchem chayavim b'chvodi. So you're obligated in kavod of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and your parent is obligated in kavod of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And therefore, your parent has no right to tell you to violate the more significant kavod, the kavod that's due to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So the bottom line is that this pasuk, this gzeres ha'kasu in Parshas Kedoshim, that sets the stage for the basic halacha that Kibbutz Avayim does not have the ability to override mitzvahs haTorah. Now, if you notice, the example that the Gemara gives is quite a serious one. That's quite a prohibition, and the hierarchy of mitzvah Shechol Shabbos is pretty much at the very, very top of the line. So, what if it's a little bit more toned down than that? What if a parent tells you a meal lo sasei? Or what if, make it a little bit less significant, what if a parent tells you not to do a mitzvah zaseh? A parent says, I don't want you to eat matzah. I don't want you to put on tefillin, for whatever reason. Or what if we leave the realm of the araisas into the realm of the rabbanans? A parent tells you, I would never ask you to drive your car in Shabbos, that's the araisa, but I am asking you to move some muktzah. I'd like that item over there, it's muktzah, please bring it to me. So would we say the same thing? Would we say that Kibbutz Avayim wouldn't have the ability to doche nisa the rabbanan? So here, where the Gemara doesn't address that issue, the Rambam takes over. And the Rambam, the second Rambam, comes with his mamar, for Bavaloch Yisbeis, tells us, Misha amalo aviv lavo divrei Torah. If a parent says to a child to violate the Dinei Torah, bein she amalo lavo mitzvahs lo sasei. It doesn't matter whether they're asking them or instructing them to violate a lava prohibition, like the case of Shabbos in the Gemara, o levat the mitzvahs sasei, or even merely not to do a positive mitzvah. A fil shel divrayim, even a mitzvah derabana. So a parent says, I will not let you wash the tefillin today. Very, very low level on the hierarchy of mitzvot, a mitzvah derabana. I raise the yishmolo. You're not allowed to listen to them. Shenema ish ima be'avti rabbi shemtos tishmaru kulchem chayavim b'chodi. So how did the Rambam know to make that jump? that leap of faith from deraisas to derabbanans. I could argue that the Gemara is only talking about a level of deraisas. Chilul Shabbos, I understand. Ani Hashem, kulchem chem mechvodi. What right did the Rambam have to make that equation? Well, if a parent can't tell you to do a deraisa, they do not have the authority to tell you to do a derabbanan. So before Shem, the Rambam explained that, well, this is part of the general question, where did mitzvahs derabbanan come from? Why do, forget about a parent says, why do I have to observe mitzvahs derabbanan? Why do I have to light chanukah candles? And why am I not allowed to move muktzah? So the Rambam, Inuchas Mamrim, one fell swoop tells us, all dinim derabbanan, both the positive mitzvahs derabbanan and the prohibitions with derabbanan, all stem from one mitzvah Torah. The mitzvah is, that the Torah tells us in Parsha Shoftim that you have to listen to what the Chachmei Torah says, listen to what the Beis Hanagog of the Sanhedrin says. So the Torah speaks in an all-encompassing way. The Torah says, "Lo sasim el adover shegidu chayim b'nismol." So the Rambam understood that to mean we are required to listen to the Chachamim not only when they interpret a mitzvah deraisa, but even when they initiate, when they institute a new mitzvah derabbanan, that is also included, also under the heading of lo sasim. Therefore, according to the Rambam, when you light Hanukkah candles, you're doing a mitzvah deraisa of listening to the Chachamim. The Rambam Hilchos Brachos goes so far as to say that when you make a bracha on a mitzvah derabanan, so the real taich, the real meaning of the bracha is, Baruch Ata Hashem Asher Ki Dishanu Mitzvos Tzivanu Hadik Ner Shel Chanukah. You know what that means? Asher Ki Dishanu Mitzvos Tzivanu Kadosh Baruch Hu Mitzava Us, not to light Neres Chanukah. Kadosh Baruch Hu wasn't Mitzava Us to light Neres Chanukah. Don't say that in the Chumash. You Mitzava Us to listen to the Chachmei Torah, kind of like in parentheses. Don't say this in Neres Chabracha. It's kind of in parentheses. Asher Ki Dishanu Mitzvos Tzivanu, to listen to the Chachamim. Who of Itzivanu will have the Kneir Shel Chanukah? There's a fascinating opinion that appears in the Rishalmi that when you make a bracha on a mitzvah derabanan, so the text is not Lahavdik Kneir Shel Chanukah, the text is Al Mitzvah Zekeinim, something like that. The mitzvah to listen to the Chachamim, which would actually be more in sync with the Shittas HaRambam. But for whatever reason, we pass, like it says in the Bavli, we do not make the bracha on mitzvah Zekeinim. We make the bracha Lahavdik Kneir Shel Chanukah, Lahavdik Kneir Shel Shabbos, Amikra Megillah, Amitzvah Eruv. We identify the particular mitzvah. But the real mechayev of mitzvahs derabanan is the mitzvah, is the isurim, the dinim of lo sasa. So according to the Rambam, it makes a lot of sense. When a parent tells you to move muktzah, that is tantamount to them telling you to violating a din in the Torah. The din that they're telling you to violate is lo sasa. So of course I'm not permitted to listen to the parents. So the bottom line is, I'm not allowed to listen to a parent when they tell me to violate an isur. I'm not allowed to listen to a parent when they tell me not to perform a mitzvah. I'm not allowed to listen to a parent when they tell me not to, when they tell me to violate an isur derabanan. And I'm not allowed to listen to a parent when they tell you not to fulfill the mitzvah derabbanan. So all four categories, the mitzvah of kibbutz avim doesn't apply. What if it's not quite one of those categories? What if it's something a little bit less than that? What if it's, we cannot call it an isur, we cannot call it a mitzvah. What if it's a minhag tov, it's a midas chasidus, it's a chumrah, it's a hidur? Where would that fit into the picture? So the parent says, I don't want you to perform hidur X, Y, Z. I want you to do something. And the child says, what do you mean? My Rebbe told me I got to do X, Y, and Z. He do this, mach for that. So here the post can say, it depends what kind of a minik slash hiddur slash chumah we're talking about. If we're talking about something that's already a duom, a foursom, a klal Yisrael, this is something that everybody follows. It's almost like a universal, even not a literal universal minik, but something that's clearly been accepted as part of normative practice of halacha, then the parent really doesn't have a right to interfere with that. But something that's not that, something that there are chilukei deis and there are different minhagim. Let's say a marshal. Sometimes, you know, a child will say to me something along the lines of, the child learned, his Rebbe told him he should wear a gartel for davening. And the father's very uncomfortable with the child doing that. So I tell the child, he should not wear the gartel. He should listen to his father. Why? If wearing a gartel was an absolute din, it's not a requirement. So then, in the parents would have no right to override that. But the Rishonim write, and although Bizman Chazal, it was a requirement because the whole source putting on a belt during davening was in the olden days, people would daven like in tunics, like in robes. So there's a halacha called Liba Rosa Erva. You're not allowed to have that the area of where Mokom Erva is, and the place where your heart is, should not be separated one from another. So therefore, Chazal instituted that if you're davening one of these long robes, the Gemara says you have to put on a belt, you have to put on something. So the Balei HaTosfos is right that we don't dress that way anymore. We have pants, we have shirts, we have different kinds of wardrobe. So anyway, it's not Rosh Erva, just our pants themselves are the hefsek. So we wear belts, so the belt is hefsek. So the wearing of another garment for davening today is not really necessary. Putting on a garment, other reasons, other sources, a hidurim, it's a special baguette for tefillah, whatever the case may be. But since it's not an absolute requirement, b'zman hazeh, So if it interferes with Kibbutz Avim, so Kibbutz Avim would take precedence over those kinds of minhagim. But if a parent would want to interfere with the child's real observance of an absolute bona fide minhag Yisrael that everybody does, so then that would be a question of applying this minhag. Sometimes you have a situation where there's a machlokes, the parent and the child, what this particular minhag is. So the parent says, "Ah, this is just a chumrah." And the child says, "No, my Rebbe said it's a real din." So you got to go to the third person. You have a kus for shish, you got to go to Rav, they both trust. Who's going to tell you, is it a real din or is it a chumrah? So sometimes you have those kinds of machloksim, so to speak, in Hilchas Kibbutz Avim. It's like the story about the Gemara says that the husbands and wife really shouldn't have any trouble making any decisions at all. Because the Gemara says that all the mila d'shmaya, whatever's like a spiritual nature kind of a decision, that should be in the domain of the husband. He should set policy for the standards, the kashrus, for the Shabbos, whatever, ruchnius type of things. Anything that's relevant to the physical reality of the home, mila d'alma, that should be the domain of the wife. So once a couple came to a Rav, and they were arguing and fighting about everything under the sun. So the Rav asked them, "What are you fighting about?" The Gemara says, "Beferish, that mila d'shmaya is one way, mila d'alma is the other way." So the couple said, "We're fighting about whether every single thing under the sun is mila d'shmaya, mila d'alma. You have to first decide what's why and what's what." So to over here, if you can't decide what's a chumrah, what's a din, then you can have a fight between the parent and the child. But the bottom line is that when the parent really, really, truly goes up against Kibbutz Avim, so then the game is over. So there is a discussion that the Rishonim have as to why we even would have thought that there should have been Kibbutz Avim should have been Doicha Isurim. In the end, it's not. In the end, the Pasuk teaches us it's not. But there was a viable Havamina that if a parent tells a child we mechal Shabbos, the child should actually listen. And the question is, why would I ever dreamt of such a thing? To understand why I wouldn't have dreamt of such a thing, we have to familiarize ourselves with the third of the Maamar Kamos. That's a Gemara. It's actually a Mishnah in Maseches Ksubas Daf Lamed Tes. The Mishnah is talking about a very tragic scenario of an Oines. A person is Ma'anes, a Basula. A person attacks a young girl. And the Torah says that terrible, terrible Aveira. She wasn't married. And still a terrible, terrible Aveira. And there are a whole series of knossos, a whole series of penalties that now apply to this person. So first of all, he has to reimburse the father for the Dmei HaBesulim, 50 shekels, he's got to pay X amount of money to the father. And then he has to marry the girl, providing that the girl wants, but that the father wants. If they don't want, they tell him to get lost, they don't want to see him anymore, so then he doesn't marry them. But if they want, if the girl wants it, if for whatever reason she is going to be in her best interest now to be married to this fellow, so then he is mechuyev to marry her. However, the Mishnah says, the Mishnah says that when is there a mitzvah for him to marry her? That's if she is muteris to him. What if for whatever reason she's asura to him? What if whatever the case is, and it can be different scenarios why she should be asura to him, if she's asura to him, and they're not allowed to get married, so then they don't get married. So comes the Gemara in Ksubas and Daf Mem and raises the following question. Omer of Kahan, Risla Shvaisa Kabedra of Zubin Hado, Nase Ase Benit Chalos Ase. Gemara says, wait a second. If they're not allowed to get married, they should still get married. Why? Because for him to marry this girl, who is Ma'anis, we force, we attack, is a mitzvah Ase. So he is bound by the mitzvah Ase, the positive commandment to marry her, and there's a Los Ase staring him in the face. So we learned at the beginning of Sechas Yevamos that generally the rule is Ase is Docha. Whenever you have a positive mitzvah and a prohibition, so there are a few exceptions here and there to this rule, that eight plan and yavamas exceptions, but the basic rule is that yavah asay, bir chalos asay. So comes the Gemara and raises the question, why shouldn't he marry her? True, under normal circumstances, he wouldn't be permitted to marry her, but for him to marry her is in fact the mitzvah. So yavah asay, bir chalos asay. So Amali, so Rav Zvid answered Rav Kahana, when we say that there's a principle of essay docha los essay, could go mila bitzaras. One of the examples of essay docha los essay is you have a mitzvah of mila, you're about to do the mitzvah of mila, and then you realize on that area where the mila is about to be performed, the baby has a negatzaras. Look, the baby has, even a little baby has a negatzaras. But normally you're not allowed to cut off a negatzaras. To cut off a negatzaras is an issur deraisa. So here we have a clash. On the one hand, we have a mitzvah of mila. On the other hand, we have an issur of cutting off the negatzaras. So the halacha is very clear that the mitzvah's essay of mila is docha the los essay of tzaras. That's one of the examples. It's probably not the most famous example. The most famous example of essay docha los is tzitzis and shatnas. The Torah says you have a four-cornered linen garment and you have to put on tzitzis. Now, tzitzis, when you have tcheles, tzitzis by definition is going to be wool. So here the Torah is telling you, take blue wool and put it onto a linen garment. Gavalt, shatnez. Right, absolutely. Gavalt to the shatnez. And it's still mutter because the assay of tzitzis is docha de los assay. So the Gemara says, when is there a principle called assay docha de los assay? That's in these kinds of mitzvahs. Aval hocha yamrlo be'ina mi'isel yasei klal. Over here, if the woman says, I don't want to marry this fellow, so then there's no woman to say anymore. He's not mechuyev to marry her if she doesn't want to do so. So the Gemara says, whenever you have a mitzvah essay that is such a low-level kind of mitzvah essay that it's by someone's whim, you can just blow it out of the water, just make it go up, poof, go away, that kind of mitzvah essay doesn't lend itself to asei dochalos essay. And what do you mean?
Don't wear
it on. Oh, you're asking, you have to tell this kasha. So that's a little bit different. We have to figure out why that's a little bit different. Tosfos asked that kasha. We have to fine tune why that. I'm well aware of the fact you're doing tzitzis. I know that tzitzis is very much on your mind. Every time I walk the mission at night, I hear that. So we'll see if we can fine tune that a draft as we go on. So here the Gemara Ksubas of Mem seems to say as a sweeping statement, any time that the mitzvah essay can be avoided, can be ignored, can be somehow circumvented, and having the other person say, I don't want it. So the statement, the ability to say, I don't want it, that undermines the entire principle of essay dochalos. That's what the Gemara says in Ksubas. So the Rishonim on the daf, when I said Ksubas, are all bothered with the question. Wait a second. Kibra Be'im is exactly that. Kibra Be'im is also a kind of a mitzvah, easy come, easy go. We spoke about this in the past. Kibra Be'im is nitan l'mechila. Av shemachla kveide kveide mochel. The parent says, don't do me any favors. The child says, no, I really, really want to come and pick you up from the airport at 3 o'clock in the morning. The parent says, please don't. So the father is meichel on his covered. The father's meichel. The father said, listen, do me a favor. Don't get me dressed in the morning. Don't put my shoes on for me in the morning. The mishnah, the Gemara says, Mabisho, Manilo. The parent says, listen, go to yeshiva. Go to where I'll take care of myself. Av shemachla kveide kveide mochel. So come to Rishonim and ask, if Kibra Be'im is a type of a mitzvah that's a nitan l'mechila, so how in the world did the Gemara even dream that it's going to be docha alos asei? Now, truth to be told, it's not docha alos asei. And truth to be told is, you're not allowed to be mechal Shabbos for Kibra Be'im, and you're not allowed to violate Yisurim Kibra Be'im, but that's only because you have a special pasuk that teaches us that. If not for the special pasuk, the svara would have been that in Hochinami, Kibra Be'im is Dochei Surim. How can it be Dochei Surim if it's Efshel Levatlo? It's so easy to remove by simply having the parents say, Efshi, I don't want your covered anymore. That's a loaded question. And it has many, many loaded answers. So one of the popular answers that's suggested to this question is that there's still a little bit of a difference. When a person is Ba'anes, this girl, if she says, I don't want to marry you. No, please, leave me alone. Get out of here. Get lost. There's no mitzvah whatsoever under the sun for him to marry her. However, keep it up, aim. Even if the parent says, a moichel, that means the child is not mechuyav to do the mitzvah. But the Radvaz suggests in his Chuvas, maybe the child is not mechuyav, but a kiyum there still is. There's still something good. There's still something positive, unless the parent gets angry at him for doing it. So let's say the parent says, it's all right. It's okay. It's fine. It's fine. You don't have to do it. I'm meichel. But if the child goes ahead and does it anyway, it's not a nothing. That's not a mitzvah. So in the case of ma'anes, the mitzvah can literally be blown out of the water. It can be totally, completely destroyed. Whereas kibra be'im, even when the father says, lo ba'ina, eini rotza, that doesn't remove the mitzvah in its entirety. It removes the mechayim of the mitzvah. It doesn't remove the kiyum mitzvah.
Listening to the father and not being on the airport is a kiyum in the mitzvah. Because the request is, I whatever reason, be the shevach of the night, yes,
very good, excellent. Henry's saying, so you're mechab, it's other tirutz. Other tirutz more, there's still a big difference between the two cases. In the case of the ones, the mitzvah is to marry, and when she says she doesn't want to, so then get lost. There's no mitzvah. When it comes to kibra avim, kibra avim doesn't disappear. It just changes forms a little bit. So for the parent who wants to be picked up, it expresses itself through being picked up. The parent who doesn't want to be picked up, it expresses itself through not being picked up. But to add on, others add on a little bit more to elaborate upon that decision.
In Kippur, if you're mechuyav to eat because you're sick, yeah. The
kippur
is a mitzvah to eat that
Yom Kippur. Right. I mean, that's not a kippur of Yom Kippur. It's a kippur of a chayben. Right. So what you're saying is even better because by listening to the parent, by not doing the kibbutz, is good for the kibbutz. Some want to argue that there's along the lines of Henry saying, there's still a very, very big difference between the two. In the case of the ma'anes, once the woman says, listen, don't do any favors, I'm not interested in marrying you, get lost. Then she changes her mind a month later and says, you know, maybe I want to marry you. He's not my first marriage. Once she's mochelos and that's chus, he wants to marry, can marry her. But once she's mochelos and that tibia, she has a kain against him. It's almost like saying, you broke my window, so now you owe me $1,000. I'm mochel $1,000. Then a week later, say, you know, I'm a little low on funds. Can you please pay me $1,000? That's very nice if you want to be a nice guy, but you're not mechuv to. Once I'm mechel, the game's over. So once I'm mechel, the chiyav adini mamonis, the requirement to marry me is almost like a chiyav adini mamonis. It's like the knas haTorah. He has to give her 50 shekel to the father, and he has to also give her this service now with marrying her if she so desires. When she's mechelas on that, then the game's over, the olam goyim. Mashenki keep it up, if my parent says, listen, don't do me any favors, don't pick me up tonight from the airport, but next week he says, you know what? Next week, I know you have a little more free time in here. Pick me up. No, I can't say that. Abba, you were Meichel. I was Meichel last week. I was Meichel now. So keep it up, aim. It's case by case. It's day by day. It's minute by minute. So keep it up, aim doesn't disappear with Mechila. Keep it up, aim temporary is on hold with Mechila. It's a different kind of removal of a mitzvah. So when does the Gemara say that a mitzvah that's nitan to be removed doesn't have the koach to be doicha? That's a mitzvah that literally is going to be removed and blown out of the water. A mitzvah that's going to be temporarily put on hold until further notice, that mitzvah is still kayamas, and that mitzvah still has the potential to be doicha. So at the end of the day, the Gemara had a great havamina that kibbut av'em should be doicha yisurim, but l'mais, that's not true. The bottom line is, as great as the havamina was, so the Baruch Hu trumps the havamina and says, shab sosai tishmaru, and yashem. This halacha that a kavod to a Kodesh Baruch Hu takes precedence over a kavod to our parents, this may very well be related to another halacha. That's in the fifth of the Mar Makamos. The Gemara Masechet Kedushin Daf Lamed Aleph. Shol ben Amona Achas es Rabbi Eliezer. Abba Omer Hashkeni Mayim, Ve'ima Omer es Hashkeni Mayim, Eizem Mehem Kodem. So my father asked me for a cup of water, and my mother asked me for a cup of water. Eventually, the Gemara tells us that this individual was asking the Shaila, he was Ben Amon, I mean, his father passed away, so it wasn't relevant to him anymore. So the Gemara says that he was asking the lumbus. He wondered, what's the din? What's the lafi? He read it academically interested. He wasn't really interested in lemaisa. But what's the din? Tachlis, what's the halacha? So Amalei, so Rabbi Eliezer responded back to him, Hanach kved imcha, basei kved avicha. Leave aside the kavod to your mother and do the kavod to your father. Why? She'atav imcha chayam kved avicha. Because the married woman is chayeves in the kavod of her husband to a certain degree, which is unclear exactly what that means. That means that she has to perform certain things on behalf of the husband. It's not clear exactly the fine tune what that term means in the world of halacha. But the Gemara here means that Maria is assuming that there's some kind of a kavod that the wife has towards the husband. And therefore, in the hierarchy of kavod, when I want to know, should I give the father or the mother kavod? It's a question of one over the other. So the father comes first because the mother gufa is obligated in the covenant of the father's will. That's why the Gemara concludes, and one of the parents are divorced. The Gemara says, well, the parents are divorced, then that svara obviously breaks down. And which comes first? So the simple shot is that the child decides that there's no precedence anymore. No precedence anymore. So comes Tosus in Masechet Yevamos, in the sixth of the Marmikamos, and says, wait a second. Tosus says, V'yim Toymar, lama likra b'kivir av'aim d'lo dochi Shabbos. Why did the Gemara, when we started off the sugya, require a pasuk to teach me that kibbut av'eim isn't doicha Shabbos? The implication of the need for that pasuk is, if not for the pasuk, I would have said, yeah, enoch enami, kibbut av'eim is doicha Shabbos. Yes, those, wait a second. The belav kronami lo dochi. It's a pasuk tzvara. Shehuva avim chayuv muzhar na Shabbos. The same way we say that I have a clash of kibbut obligations. Father versus mother. So father comes first because the mother is obligated to the father. So too, Kadosh Baruch Hu, father, the parent, my father is chayav to mechaber Kadosh Baruch Hu. My father is chayav in Shabbos also. So it's a poshut svara. Of course, the Kadosh Baruch Hu comes first. So why the need for a poshut? So says Tosfos to the end of the Tosfos, the last line, v'yesh lo b'de mihochi afir hosom, says Tosfos that wait a second, that maybe the source for that idea of atav imcha chayav mechaber avicha is not a svara. The source of that idea is the possible ship. So Tishmaru. This gufa teaches us that principle. I wouldn't have known it on my own. So Kamash Balon the Pasuk, what's the nature of this din? Why is it that I give cover to HaKadosh Baruch Hu before my parent? because my parent himself is also obligated in the covenant of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So that notion, that hierarchy of kibud, is something that I would not have known misfar, wouldn't have figured out all on my own, but that's what the pasuk teaches us. So now, when you hear laning the Shabbos morning, what you're really listening to is it's a lot of longness in that pasuk. What you're really listening to is, I would have made a good case that kibud avim is more important than Shabbos. Kamash malon, that it's not. Why is it not? The engine that's driving why it's not is this new svar that the Torah was just mechadish to me. Atav yavicha chayav b'chvod shemayim. The same way we say atav yavicha chayav b'chvod shemayim, so too atav imcha chayav b'chvod avicha, and that is why there's a hierarchy of kavod. So the hierarchy in halach of kavod emanates from this pasuk that teaches us that when you have 1, 2, and 3, and two of you have a chiyuv to somebody else, that ups the ante of that person's kavod. But there seems to be an exception to this rule, and that's the seventh of the Marmakamos. So Rashi and Chumash and Pashas V'Yigash. The pasuk says when Yaakov is going down to Mitzrayim, so he offers karbonos. He stops in Beersheba and he offers karbonos lelokei aviv Yitzchak. So Chazal are sensitive to the fact, why does it mention lelokei aviv Yitzchak? Usually the Torah uses the phrase lelokei Avram v'Yitzchak. So why the shift? Why the emphasis only on Yitzchak? So Rashi quotes here from the Medrash Rabbah. The Torah wants to highlight that one is chayev more of a kavod to his parent than he is to a grandparent. Therefore, it's not that there's no kavod whatsoever to a grandparent. It's also important, but in terms of the hierarchy of kavod, so the kavod goes first to one's father. If you have a clash between a parent asks for something and a grandparent asks for something, then the parent comes first. So the question is, why should that be so? Why don't we plug in our rule called Ata v'avicha chayavim b'chvod ha-zokin? That I'm chayav to mechave the grandparent, and I'm my father's mechayav to mechave his parent. So the grandparent should come first. So the answer seems to be as follows. Now, this is very, very different. I don't have a personal obligation to be mechave a grandparent. The Torah says, kabbis avicha. The grandparent's not my parent. The grandmother's not my mother. So what's the mechayev? It's somewhat of an indirect kibud. Namely, when I'm mechaved my grandparent, that gufa is a kavod to my parents. My parents want me to be mechaved their parents, or they should want me to be mechaved their parents. So the kibud that's due to a grandparent exists in halacha, but it's not an independent mechayev. It emanates from the kavod that's due to the father. So now we understand quite well. How can you turn around and say, you and the father each have a great chi of kibud to the grandfather? You should give kavod to the grandfather more important than your father. It doesn't make any sense. That's the exact opposite. If the whole mechayev, the whole engine that's driving me to be mechaved my grandparent is the kavod that's due to the father, how can you turn around the same breath and say, oh, by the way, give your grandparent more kavod than your father? That's lo ye tafel chom and eper. The grandparents, my relationship to my grandparent is secondary to my relationship to my parent. It only exists because of my relationship to my parent. And therefore, when we're paskini and kibud avim shaila, so the kavod due to the parent has to come first. The question is, if the father dafka wants the other way around, the father says, listen, I want you to do the grandparent, then kibud avim dictates that I listen to my parent and do the kavod to my grandparent. But if all else is equal here, no one's really, Yaakov Avinu is not asking anybody. He's not asking Yitzchak, not asking Avram. So no one's around to be asked anymore. No one's alive to be asked. So Yaakov has to decide on his own, who should I make a bigger demonstration of kavod to? So when I offer the kavanas and I say, these kavanas are okay, of Yitzchak, should I say to my fathers or should I say on behalf of my grandfather? So Yaakov has to make that decision on his own. There are no players anymore. No one's in this world anymore. So Yaakov makes a statement, because ultimately, Yaakov's first and foremost relationship, his first and foremost obligation was in fact to his father rather than to his grandfather.
Your father and your grandfather ask you to do something simultaneously, and do your father first. You're detracting from his mitzvah of kibud avim because he's now not enabling his father to get the kavod that he would want.
Right, to get. Right. The question is that my cheshbon? I have to do my mitzvahs right now. So I have a mitzvah that says the Nevi'im speaking to me. I have a secondary chiyuv to do things to my grandparent also. That secondary chiyuv is not going to match up to my primary. So I'm not sure whether I want to formulate it exactly. I don't know. I'm not sure how to formulate it, but it's definitely secondary. So So there's no question that's secondary.
So would there be any nafkamina rachmonos on this person's parent passed away and their grandparents still alive?
Right, very good, good. So that's what I'm trying to walk a very, very fine line. So there is a halacha that let's say a parent remarries, right? A stepmother. So a stepmother, the Gemara says, there is a chiyuv of kavod that's due to the stepmother, but that chiyuv only emanates from the father. It's because your biological father wants you to be mechabit his wife, therefore you have to be mechabit her. And therefore, if your biological parent is no longer alive, then there really is no chiyuv towards the step-parent anymore. The Gemara says, as a good recommendation, as the proper midos, the proper derech eretz, so the Gemara tells a story about Rabbi Ben-Nossi told his children that even after he passed away, they should still take care of his second wife. But that's like a midas chasidus kind of a thing. That's not like a sotov. But in terms of a real chiyuv obligation, it's not. So there it's clear that the chiyuv toward the step-parent is an extension of the parent. Here, I don't want to go as far as saying that it's mamish just only as an expression of kavod, because then you would be led to the conclusion that once the father's not here, then maybe that chiyuv disappears lagamri. So one can almost walk a little bit in the middle and say that it's still not on par with the parent, that the primary obligation is the parent. It's a secondary obligation. It may continue. And again, it makes sense that it continues. Whereas if you think about it, your relationship with the step-parent, it's not a blood relationship. It could be because of the marriage relationship with the parent, which is not here. Right, whereas Yerusha, right, whereas a grandparent, so it's nice no matter what happened to the parents, there's still that blood relationship that will always remain. So it's not quite the same as to a parent, it's not quite the same to a step-parent. So it's a third. It's like a brisk plus. There are three different diagrams, three different levels in terms of the mitzvah kippah. The bottom line is, when all the dust settles, when the parent tells you to do an aveira, so you don't listen to them. It should be respectfully told that you're not listening to them. But lamais, the bottom line is, they tell you to do an aveira. And then, of course, you have to gauge, is it really an aveira? Is it really a mitzvah or not? So that, again, has to be judged case by case, what the parent is or is not asking. Okay.
Is there a chiyuv for a great grandparent?
Probably an extension of the
So what the Gemara says that the parent is